By the grace of God today, I want to preach the keys to the Father's house. The keys to the Father's house. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, honor and praise unto the magnificence of your divine and holy name today. Lord God, you can do everything. You are the great and almighty Savior and almighty God. And so we come today, Lord Jesus, as we've come into your presence today. And we pray that God, that today that you would anoint these lips of clay, that you would strengthen us and undergird us by the divine touch and hearing of the word of God today. And that, Lord God, that all of this will be received and given back to you as your glory and your honor. With all praise, you may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. Everyone in this place, even some of the young ones, very young ones, have experienced a troubled heart. Am I correct? Everyone, in fact, sometimes we've experienced the anxieties of a troubled heart many times in life. And here is the disciples being instructed by the Lord to let not their hearts be troubled. The hearts of the disciples were troubled with fear of the unknown. Their focus was upon the words of the Lord from the previous verse. They were completely consumed in the fear of tomorrow. You ever been consumed by the fear of tomorrow? You think about tomorrow, I got to go to school, I have a test. Sometimes you're completely consumed with that fear. Sometimes we're fearful in being able to face the future. We're fearful. And many times we have all rights to be fearful and afraid, because we don't know what tomorrow might bring. We don't know sometimes whether tomorrow will bring trouble or happiness. We look forward to happiness, but many times we run into trouble. But the Lord was telling the disciples this because he knew that in spite of the trouble that they would run into, that at the end of that trouble, they would find a place of eternal happiness. Trouble doesn't last always. It's a temporary condition. Amen. Always think about trouble as a temporary condition. I've learned to do that over the years. I think about it as a temporary condition because it doesn't have the possibility of lasting, because trouble is not eternal. But unfortunately, trouble is necessary. It's necessary. It's necessary that we will find the ability to say that God can do anything. Am I right? God can do anything. If you're happy all the time, you don't need the presence of God. But when you get in the midst of trouble and problems and situations, and God reaches his hand down into your life and into your situations and turn things around, then you rejoice and you say, that God can do anything. So trouble is a necessity. You know why it's a necessity? Because it enhances our worship. It enhances our praise. It enhances our spirit and attitude of thanksgiving. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift up the name of Jesus with power and great authority because his spirit has given us liberty. And we worship him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Sometimes people don't understand the agony that you've been through. They don't understand the depth of the trial that you've dealt with. But God does. And so what takes place after God brings you out of that situation is the Spirit of God that gives you the insight and the feeling to rejoice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Am I right? Hallelujah. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Amen. Many times we are placed in the fate of the unknown, but we must remember that God, that in God, there are places to go that are not unknown to him, but only unto us. Sometimes the Lord is trying to lead us, and you know, the beautiful thing about the scriptures is that when we read in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. He was led up by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil. In other words, the Lord led his flesh up into the wilderness to be tested. And he was tested on all points as you and I. Yet when he came down, he still had no sin. Praise God. I believe that when he went up and came down, he came down more powerful than he went up. Because the flesh, his flesh, had been fully tested. He had every opportunity in the flesh to go against the will of God. But his flesh didn't do that. Unfortunately, our flesh did. And then Jesus asked a question. He said, believe in God, believe also in me. We believe in God. He told the disciples, believe in God. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, what he was really saying was, if you believe in God, trust me. Sometimes it's hard to trust things you can't feel, things you can't handle, things you can't see. It's hard to trust when your spirit is troubled and your heart is, when your life is rearranged and circumstances are out of control. It's difficult to believe that even, it's difficult sometimes to believe that even God has a handle on the situation. Am I right? It's no way that anybody can have a handle on this situation because I can't handle it. There's nothing too hard for God. Paige just said it. God can do anything. Am I right? Nothing too hard for the Lord. Help us to remember. Help us to remember. And then he goes on and he makes a very profound statement. And he makes a statement of fact. And he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And of course, I believe that really got their attention. You think so? And then he says, and then, of course, he had to also deal with the doubt of men. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. But because he knew he was dealing with men, he says, he knew that some doubted. And he says, if it were not so, I would not have told you. Do we believe that everything in this book is true? Amen. We should believe that everything in the Word of God is true. And that every word in the Word of God has a direction towards truth. Even though sometimes to the human thinking, it might be conflicting. It might even be confusing. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to his disciples. In the eternal abode of God, or in the dwelling place of God, there are rooms. The word mansion in this particular scripture can be supplicated for rooms, places to go. Many dwelling places to live. According to biblical reading, the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. That's where we find the throne of God. That's where Paul experienced the throne of God. He went to the third heaven. He talked about the things that he heard that were unspeakable. Human minds could not understand it. If the house of God has many rooms, how big is his house? Hallelujah. Can you imagine how big the house of God is? How big is this house? It's all these rooms, all these places. And the Lord tells us that he goes to prepare a place for us. Good thought, isn't it? How big is this house? According to what we're reading right now, in the Word of God, the house of God is still under renovation. It's still under renovation. And you know why we know it's still under renovation? Because the Lord has not returned yet. It's still under renovation. Still, the Lord is still working. Jesus made the statement, I must leave to begin to build or to make ready a place for you. Hallelujah. The Lord. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Praise God. Jesus again told the disciples of his return after all is fully renovated and constructed, after everything is prepared and finished, then the Lord's going to descend in that cloud. The Holy Ghost prepares our hearts to live with him in an eternal abode. You know why? So we won't be visitors trapped in a strange house. Could you imagine going to heaven in the fullness of your flesh? Could you imagine going to heaven how you feel right now? Do you realize if you went to heaven right now in the fullness of your flesh, you would have a problem with the sting of death? Do you realize that? I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about dying and going to heaven. I'm talking about if you went to heaven in the state that you're in right now, you would be in a strange house. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord prepares your mind, your heart, and your spirit that you might one day live eternally with Him. He'll take care of the flesh later. He prepares your mind, your heart, and your spirit to live with Him. Right now, you're in a place of preparation. The Holy Ghost prepares that within you. He wants us to feel, when we get to the eternal abode, that we are at home. Hallelujah. That's what He wants us to feel. He wants us to feel that we are at home. He doesn't want us to be a visitor in a strange house. Use the Spirit of God to cultivate your relationship with God, that you but have that desire to live with Him eternally. You can cultivate that right now, right here. You don't have to wait to go to heaven. That's why He's given us the power of the Holy Ghost within ourselves, that we can cultivate that. We can build and paramount that relationship within us. And nobody on the left side, the right side, in front of us or behind us can affect us in that relationship. Because the Spirit of God deals with me from within. I look up when I pray, but the Spirit of the Lord is free with inside of me. My heart is filled with the power of God's Spirit. Amen. My cup overfloweth. That don't mean everybody's cup overflow. Some people's cup is low. Some people's cup is half filled. Some people's cup is right at the brink. But if my cup overflows, that means that not only I experience the presence of God, but everybody around me can experience the power of His presence. They can feel it. They can be motivated behind it. They know without a doubt that He lives and that He is. Because of your cup, because of the fullness of your cup, because of the overflowing power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't let your cup be half filled. Don't let it be down low to the bottom. Don't let it stand on the brink where it's only good enough for you. But let it overflow. Let it overflow. Let the Spirit of God lift your heart, your mind, your soul. Hey, everywhere you go, everywhere you go, let it overflow, because He's given us the Spirit of God that we can live with Him eternally and never live in a strange house. The importance of the activating of God's Spirit in our lives is to relate us to His nature, and to bestow upon us His divine identity. I am a child of the King. I am a child of the King. When I call upon His name, He listens. Hallelujah. Praise God. When I call His name, Jesus, oh, He hears my voice. Because He's given me the Holy Ghost, that I can have divine identity. Not only that He can see, but others can see. Others can see, man, it's something special about Ryan. It's something special and powerful in his life. He's above and aboard everybody else. Not because of his education, not because of his understanding, but just because it's something in his spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. It gives us divine identity. Oh Lord, help us to maintain this activity. Do we know who we are? Do you know who you are? I believe that in the apostolic movement today, that people, that a lot of us have identity crisis and problems. Amen. God did not save you to make you religious. He didn't save you to make you religious. There's enough religion in the world today. I could have joined any religion I wanted. I could have done any way, but God is not, He is not a religious God. He is a God that wants a relationship. Amen. Let us not ruin our walk with God by being religious people. That's not saying we shouldn't have convictions. We better have convictions. Because you can't have the Holy Ghost without having convictions. Praise God. But because of the Holy Ghost and because of my relationship with the Lord, I don't do it because somebody asked me a while back and say, well, you don't drink and smoke because your church tells you you can't do it. I said, what? I don't want to do it. I don't have a desire to do it. I've got the Holy Ghost in my spirit, in my soul. I want to live a clean life and a holy life that's righteous before the throne of God. Hallelujah. I'm not reading the catechism. I'm reading the Bible. I'm not reading the Quran. I'm reading the Bible. I'm not reading the words of Confucian. I'm reading the Bible. Hallelujah. The Bible is a way of life. It's not a way to religion. It's a way of life. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. And verse 34. And I want to build this thing up until we close it. Hallelujah. It's warm in here. Praise God. But that's all right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Amen. Now listen, he's talking to the church. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some, have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Amen. If we're not trying and working through the power of the Holy Ghost to be delivered from our sins, then we don't have the knowledge of God. And because we have the Holy Ghost, it's a shame. Am I right? But some men will say, how art the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that the body shall be but bare grain. If it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of celestial is one, and the glory of celestial is another. Amen. The glory of the earthly is not the same as the glory of the heavenly. Not the same. And there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, and for one star, and for one star different from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Praise God. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor and it is raised up in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised up in power. It is sown a natural body and it is raised up what? A spiritual body. Praise God. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the man, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last man, Adam, was what? A quickening spirit. A spirit that was alive. A spirit that had power. A spirit that had authority. A spirit that could speak things into existence. A spirit that could not be stopped. See, that's the spirit I have in me. That's the power of the Holy Ghost was inside of me. That spirit. Hallelujah. Woo! Man, I thank God every day for the Holy Ghost. Even though when I feel bad, thank you for the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Howbeit, that it was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man of the earth, earthy. That's the flesh. That's Adam. The first Adam. He was earthy. He fell to his anxieties, to his desires. Out of all the trees that he had to eat from, is one tree that the Satan said, you need to take a part in that. The Lord had blessed him with every tree in the garden, and the Lord told him and asked him not to eat from one tree. That's typical of human flesh. The second man is the Lord of from heaven. As the earthly, such as they also are earthly, and is the heavenly, such are they that are also heavenly. And we have been born in the image of the earthly. We shall also bear image of the heavenly. Not this, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood. Now 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 flesh and blood cannot enter or inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Neither does corruption or incorruption. No sin will get into heaven. Not one drop. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptibly, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on, this mortality must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortality have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Death is swallowed up in victory. And then the question becomes available. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is what? The law, religion. I've got the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm free. Hallelujah. The strength act of sin is the law. Hallelujah. But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor in the Lord is never in vain. You are building a house of treasures in heaven. Never in vain. Hallelujah. We won't read Thessalonians chapter 2. Whether I go, I know, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 16. Oh God, I pray for your anointing, Lord Jesus, your spirit, your life to be alive in me. Hallelujah. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjanu, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. First of all, I wanted you to get the understanding and the revelation. You know what that room is that the Lord is going to place you in? That room that the Lord is going to place you in is the changing of that human flesh. Change. The dead in Christ shall rise first, with the twinkling of an eye, with the shout of the trumpet. Dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain shall be changed. Can't go to heaven in that flesh. You got to have a new room. You got to have a new body. You got to have, you know, the mansion that when we think about the house of God, we think about a human abode. But you know, I want to be you know, as Jesus came back after he was after he died on Calvary, and after he resurrected, he walked, you know, instead of him opening the door, he walked through the door. He walked through the door. Amen. My goodness, how can flesh and blood walk through the door? He sat down and ate with them. He did all types of things that the flesh does. But yet, he had a different dominion of power. And authority. That all the elements upon the earth were subject unto him. And therefore, because all the powers and elements of the earth were subject unto him, he could do and go anywhere he wanted to go. And there was no force on the earth, and there was no force in the universe that could stop him. Because he had brought true, complete restitution back to the throne of God. And the Bible tells us that one day we'll be like him. Praise God. Hallelujah. In my Father's house there are many mansions. He told us when he left that he would send back the Comforter. And he sent it back. He's preparing places. You're in construction. In construction. And I say unto you, also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Upon the foundation of the name of Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Didn't say it wouldn't fight against it. but it will not prevail against the church of the living God. The kingdom of Satan easily prevails over the human frailty of mankind. It's a very easy thing to do, to overcome flesh. All you have to do is put a wrong thought in their minds, and the flesh becomes alive. And even though the flesh doesn't want to do it, it finds itself doing it anyway. That's what it tells us in Corinthians chapter 8, right? The flesh finds itself doing it anyway. Hallelujah. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, whatsoever thou shalt bind in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. Heaven and earth, by the Spirit of God and by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's an agreement. The church. Not the religious body, but the church. Now, here is the crust of it. I built all that up. The question to some: where's the key? How do I get inside of this? I want to tell y'all something. The Lord showed me the other day. It's about us. We pray for revival. Am I right? God has sent us revival. Many times he came in and sat on our pews, and we missed it. I thought about this dear sister here that left. I thought about others. Came and sit on our pews. Because sometimes we're so involved with ourselves that we're not seeing the need of others. You don't have to bring somebody to church. Just reach across the aisle and help that individual that just walked in. Am I right? Oh, Jesus. I had to pray. The Lord said, look, I've sent you revival. What did you do with it? They're still walking in. They're sitting down. They're walking into the door and saying, they don't know anybody here, but yet they walk in. Have we spent our time to put the keys in their hand? Huh? Have we spent our time to make sure that they got the key to get into the Father's house? Oh, some of them came in with half a key. They had the Holy Ghost. But you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins. It's got to be washed away. No sin will enter into the kingdom of God. So, let's get a wake up call. Let the Lord wake us up. How often do we use the keys that the Lord has given us? And how often do we introduce those keys to others? And I'm not saying just by telling them a religious doctrine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, how many times do people read the written epistle of my life to see that God has made a difference in my life? The guy who won me to the Lord talked to me twice after over five years. Very short. But you know what? The life that he lived. They told me he's going to get you. I don't mind. I don't care if he does. Because what is in his life, I need it. 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 Let that cup overflow. Let it overflow. Don't just secure your own salvation. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm telling you another thing. Once you get involved with saving souls, you'll leave the gossip section. And you won't easily be offended. Because you're doing the work of God. You're doing the work of God. And that's the most important aspect. Because that's what this is all about. It is not about establishing a service. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? This is not about establishing a service. God established his own service if his presence is there. Am I right? He'll establish his own service. You ever seen some of them places of old where you couldn't even have service because the Holy Ghost was so powerful? People be dancing and spinning. Hallelujah. Man can't even preach. Praise God. No room for preaching. Hallelujah. I remember the years back when they had the great revival in Ethiopia. Those were some videos to see. My goodness. Man, preach for 5 minutes and the place would explode. Folks be filled with the Holy Ghost. And miracles and signs and wonders would take place. You know why? Because they weren't bounded by the attitude and spirit of religion. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Have we heard anybody recently ask that question? When a person begins to ask that question, that's a sign that they want to be saved. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. I want to tell anybody under my voice today, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of your sins, you need to follow the directions of the scriptures. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name in order to be prepared to go to the Father's house. Everyone has to bear the family name. The family name is Jesus. Amen. The family name is not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a husband. But my name is very specific. When I sign a check, I can't sign Father, Husband, Son. I got to sign Larry Gray. That's the only power, that's the only authority that's going to endorse that check and give me back and receive the things that I need to receive. Amen? It's the same check that you can write in heaven once you repent of your sins and are baptized in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Don't forget the keys. We've got to utilize the power of the keys. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Promise. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You want to go to the Father's house? I want to go. But I also desire to take a host of people with me. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to take a host of people with me. Amen. I was out praying last night and I said, Lord, I looked at the blades and I said, Jesus, I want souls. Souls for the kingdom of God. Not for my kingdom, because my kingdom will die off when I die. But God has an eternal kingdom. And he's going to take that eternal kingdom to an eternal abode. If it were not so, Ryan, he would not have told you. He goes to prepare a place for you. Isn't that beautiful? It's not only collective, but it's individual. Hallelujah. He's preparing it for you, Brother Cam. He's preparing it for Brother Wilkins. He's preparing it for my dear sister here. Am I right? He's preparing a place for us. Hallelujah. And if you don't make it, I'll eat your portion. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whatever the Holy Ghost leads you to do, do it. The altar's open. In the name of Jesus.
Oh,